Now, the last time I had the privilege to give a homily here was immediately before everything got shut down for COVID. So I hope that history does not repeat itself. Now, love is a key word in the readings today. In our language, the word love has a number of meanings. I love chocolate chip cookies. I love coming to church. I love my wife. All these statements use the word love, but love means different things in each of them. Now, I love chocolate chip cookies. This means that I enjoy, or perhaps am addicted to them. Maybe I love them too much and should try to love working out more instead. Now, of course, if the love of chocolate chip cookies gets to gluttony, then that would require confession. I don't think it's got to that point yet. I love coming to church. This means I desire to be at church, to participate in Mass, to spend time with God in a special way here, and to fellowship with others in the congregation. And oh, that we might again be able to do that more fully soon. Now, I love my wife. This means that we have a special bond in the sacrament of matrimony. I care deeply for her and desire only her well-being. I give my life for her as Christ gave his life for the church. Now, in the letter to Romans, Paul tells us to owe no one anything except to love one another. This love, Paul tells us, fulfills the law because it does no wrong to our neighbor. This is the type of love that seeks the good of the other, so it would not put up with lying, stealing, hurting, or murdering one's neighbor. The principle is summed up as love your neighbor as yourself. And the Old Testament reading from Ezekiel states this principle in another way. Ultimately, we care about the long-term good of others. We need to care about their souls and their destination for eternity. God warns Ezekiel that if God tells Ezekiel to call someone to repentance from sin, and Ezekiel does not do this, that the person's blood for their judgment will be on Ezekiel's hands, because Ezekiel did not warn the sinner. We are to care enough, love enough for each other, that we desire them to spend eternity with God by helping them see where they are departing from God's way. The gospel reading brings us into a personal setting within the church. Jesus describes a situation in the church where someone has sinned against you. He describes a three-step process to attempt to resolve the issue. First, you approach the sinner personally. If that does not work, then take one or two others with you as witnesses. And finally, if neither of these work, you bring the matter up to the church. Now, the goal of this is not to prove that the other person is wrong and that you are right. The goal is to bring back the sinner into full fellowship with the church. In a similar way, in ourselves, when we recognize sin, we need to seek out confession to bring ourselves fully back into communion with God and the church. Now, there are actually some interesting readings on either side of the gospel today that are related to this. Just after the gospel, Peter asked Jesus, well, how many times should I forgive the person that wrongs me? And Peter suggested perhaps seven times. And the day at that time thought maybe three was the limit. So Peter was going beyond that. And Jesus said, no, not seven times, but 77 times. A number you're not really going to keep track of, you typically. Peter thought he was being generous, but God's forgiveness for us is unlimited. Now, just before today's gospel, there's a parable of the sheep that wanders off from the fold, or off from the pasture. And the shepherd cares enough about that one sheep that he leaves the 99 sheep in the pasture and goes in search of the one. That shows us that Jesus cares about each of us personally, that he wants us as part of the flock. So God shows us that we need to love others, We need to desire and seek their good. Especially, we need to care about their and our eternal destiny.